speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
As I was preparing the lesson for today, I got to thinking about the ways in which time and times in which God speaks to us through His Scripture. And God speaks to us in Scripture as a youth. God also has a lot to say to us in our middle age, kind of where I am in life. But then also, God deals with us whenever we are older in life too. So God, His Word applies to all of us, and it applies to all of us continually as we are going throughout the course of our life. And today, to our youth, I want to speak to you with some very specific things, encouraging things, as well as some things that God warns you about in regard to you and your relationship with Him and His desire for you to live your life as one of His children. To begin with, I want to encourage you, as I believe God does in the Old and New Testament Scripture alike, to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, during your youthful years. And this comes from, primarily, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, but then also what the Apostle Paul shared with Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. In the context, though, going back to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I want to key in on the writer here, on the individual who is giving this message. It is Solomon. And as I read in regard to what Solomon says, to obey your Creator in the days of your youth, to have your Creator on your mind and focused upon Him each day, I look to not only those words of Solomon, but to what Solomon has shared throughout the entirety of this book. I think that Solomon is writing with a lot of regret. He says, "Vanity of vanity," says the preacher. He looked at his life, the past life, and he says that he had done a lot of things that was contrary to the will of God. He should have focused upon God when he was a younger man, but he did not. And therefore, he has these great things that are troubling him as he writes concerning his life and his view of God now as an older individual. And therefore, as he draws to an end in chapter 12 in verse 1, he has a message to those who are younger than him. He says, "Don't do as I did, but rather do as I am instructing, as I have learned. Obey your Creator whenever you are young, and you will not have the regrets that I have in life." And he closes this out in verses 13 and verse 14 in saying that the whole duty of man, the purpose of man's life, is to fear God and keep His commandments. Kids, obey your Creator. Remember God whenever you are a youngster. Obey God. Submit to Christ in baptism whenever you understand His will, and whenever you love God and you understand that sin separates you from God. But if you obey God in your youth also, it will go a long way in helping you in your understanding of who God is, because you will begin to read and study His Word at a much younger age than many people do. But also, it will help to set a precedence in your life to where if you put God first at a youthful age, God will always then be first continually as you move forward in your life. Kids, also, I want to encourage you to realize the high possibilities of the price that you will pay if you go out and do what many in this world do by sowing your wild oats. That was what we used to call it years ago. And by that terminology, what I mean is individuals go out and they live their life however they want to live, or they live it by the way in which society dictates, or by their peers, by people their own age, or people about their own age, and these people are getting themselves all caught up in crazy things. They're engaging in sexual relationships outside of marriage, and that is wrong. And sometimes girls will become pregnant, and as a result of that, that's forgivable, but yet they are left with a child to raise, while in reality they themselves are a child, and they have that huge responsibility. now that will not only affect them at this given time, but it will affect them continually all throughout the course of their life, because now they have another responsibility with this child. So kids don't engage in a relationship that is immoral, that is ungodly. Engage in a relationship that only whenever you are married and married in a scriptural way before God, that you will give your gift that God has given you unto your mate. But kids also, I'm reminded as I think about people going out and sowing their wild oats, is that a lot of times kids will mess with, they will be introduced to drugs. Kids, don't do that. It will mess up your life. I see people in our community, and we read about it all throughout the land, of individuals who have drug addiction problems. And your friends may encourage you to say, it's only one time. It's not going to hurt you. They may say, I've been doing it for years. And kids, I don't care if it's one time. I don't care if they've been doing it for years. Their life is messed up if they're on drugs. To begin with, it's illegal. But also, it messes with the fact that God has created you as His temple. And He says that you, as His temple, need to love and to cherish your body. And those who would participate in drugs, friends, that's not loving your body and taking care of it in the way in which God commands us to do. But kids, also stay away from alcohol. I wish I had a dollar for every time that we've read about here in our community and even beyond, about this time of year, whenever the prom is coming up and things of that nature. And I want to warn you, be careful about those things, please. But you know, kids like to get out and party, as they say. And how many times has it happened since Dawn and I have moved here, 6.5 years, that we've had our young folks, gratefully none here, but young folks from the community who have gone out and sowed their wild oats by drinking and such and end up in the morgue or even in the hospital? Kids, it's not worth the high cost that it can cost you, but especially it will cost you your soul if you engage in these ungodly things. And guard your soul and keep your soul, your focus upon God, because if you do, you will have a much more productive life here, but you will also have hope of an eternal life in heaven with God. What I'm asking you to do, I believe, is what God commands you to do, and that is to rule your life according to the standards of our God. Understand that God gives you freedom to pick and to choose how you're going to live your life, but in this, He wants you to look to your life and to see that He is the Creator. And He also, as you look to your life and you understand that He is the Creator, He, in like figure, expects you to realize that He has communicated to us through His Word, His inspired message, the Bible. And therefore, as you come to this understanding of our God and His Word, He says, read and study My Word each and every day, and then take charge of your life. Don't allow the world to pull you. Don't allow evil influences, peers to take you off course, but rather take charge of your life and make sure that each day you're doing all that is within your power to do to live according to the standards of God. How can you be of more success? How can you have a greater chance of living a life that is centered in and around God? Kids, if you will rally around kids who hold to the same godly principles as you hold to. The Scripture tells us that evil companions can corrupt good morals. And that does. And yet at the same time, I'm also aware of, is that our good morals can change those who have corruption in their life. We are to impact the world, and therefore we don't pull directly or completely away from the world, but rather we understand that we are limited as to how close we can get to individuals who are in the world because they are worldly, because their life centers in and around sin. And in this, choose your friends and choose your friends wisely. But today I encourage you, and I'm pleased with what we see here at East End. I think, anyway, your best of friends are right here amongst one another. And that is a blessing and an encouragement to me, and I also trust even to your mom and dad and family members, to know that you prefer those of like precious faith. And if you hang around those who have the same godly principles, then those principles are only going to rub off on one another. We know that iron sharpens iron. And in this, you will help to encourage one another. You will help to sharpen one another. You will help to protect one another in times where that Satan is trying to tear you down. Make sure that your friends are on the same page as what you are on in your desire and your pursuit to make it to heaven. And kids, also understand that God is trying to use you in so many ways. As a youthful child, as kids, as teenagers and such, a lot of times you might step back and question and say, well, when it comes to the work of the church, that's all about people your age, Kevin. That's all about people older than you even, Kevin. But kids, God is wanting to use you in your life. Radiate a Christ-like influence to others. Allow those kids that you go to school with to understand, not only in the way in which you would state it, but to realize from the way in which you live your life that you are a Christian. That God is important to you. And that going to heaven is the greatest thing that you want to accomplish in life, and that you're going to not allow the world to tear you down. You're not going to allow Satan to take you away from this. Let the world see this by the way in which you live your life. You are, all of us, we are, the salt of the earth. And in that, not only do we give a flavor to the earth that is necessary, the Scripture goes on to tell us that we are the light of the world. And kids, through your life, you are able to impact so many, not only your peers, but even others. Adults look to you, and I've had so many in this congregation come to me and they would say, you know, those kids, and they'll talk about certain ones, and they'll talk about the way that you are even as a group, how that you are so engaged in a godly lifestyle. And how that God is the center of your life. And these adults, as they look to you, they're so encouraged. You light a fire under us. And that's a blessing. And we want to light a fire under you as well. To encourage you to keep on living for God. But also to be the type of an example, the influence to others that God would expect you to be. And kids, at a youthful age, we want to encourage you to reach for your place amongst this congregation. It does me, and I know it does the congregation good, to see our young men standing up here and waiting on the table, helping to serve, and to have our young men, and our older men too, standing up here leading songs and all. But to see you kids getting involved and taking your roles in the church. Ladies' Day is coming up. I believe it's April the 16th, am I correct? And girls, attend that. Go because you're going to be fed spiritually. Go because you're going to be able to have fellowship with your sisters, with Christians, and you're going to be able to be blessed as a result of being there that day. And I'm not only talking to the kids, other ladies go that day and you will be blessed. And you will be a blessing to these kids and others who go. Young girls, also they'll understand while you are there, those who are organizing the Ladies' Day, those who are participating in the Ladies' Day, they once sat where you are now seated as a youth. And therefore, as they grew, they took that responsibility and realized that hence the day would come where they would be in charge of those areas. Girls, start to think about those things as I encourage you today to reach for your place amongst this congregation. But then also, I want to encourage you in an area of life that is very critical. My guys here, older guys, you're starting to probably think about dating, and some of you are dating. And the girls, if you're not thinking about it now, you're going to be. And in that, as you think about dating and choosing a mate, understand that the one that you date or someone you date is the one you're going to marry. We don't have shotgun weddings around here anymore, right? We date the people that we marry. We marry the people that we date. And that's the way that God, I think, even designed it. And as you are looking for a date to begin with, don't date just anybody. You need to understand their reputation and the way that the reputation that they have, that also, whether you do anything at all that you should or shouldn't do with them, that reputation that they have may also affect you. So don't date just anyone. But as you go out and date someone, I want to encourage you to date a Christian. Date someone who's going to treat you well. Date someone who's going to respect you and your Christian morals and ethics. And as you choose a mate for life, choose someone who loves God above all. Choose someone who loves you and who's going to love you for better or worse as you look to spending the rest of your life with that individual. Choose someone who's going to help you make it to heaven, and that they have that goal for themselves, but for you as well as for your family, that we hope and pray that God will also trust you with. And kids, my last point shouldn't surprise you. You're probably sitting there thinking, is he going to say anything about us obeying our parents? Respect and obey your parents in every way that God instructs. We are all fans of you. But you know your greatest fans is mom and dad. They love you so much. And while at times they may ask you to do things that you just don't want to do, they have a reason for asking you to do that. Do it. Because God expects them to help to instruct you and to lead you and to instill within you a sense of a worth ethics, a godly worth ethics, and then also to instill in you that you have a role to play in life as a citizen here in this world. And kids, obey your parents now, and that will set a precedence even for what you will expect out of your children, out of your family, whenever you have children of your own. But then kids also, obey your parents today. Tell your mom and dad today, every day, how much you love them. Yesterday, I did a funeral of a dear friend of mine. He left behind his wife and three children. 20-year-old son, 13-year-old daughter, and a 10-year-old. Karen's his wife, Daniel, his son, and Allison and Olivia. They were our neighbors when we went through the school of preaching. Got to know them real well. Lonnie and the family moved to Pennsylvania and worked with us for 18 months before he moved off to Blue Ridge. Daniel is now in his second year at Faulkner University. And Friday, when Dawn and I went over for the viewing, I sat with Daniel and talked with him a lot about him and his dad. They did a lot, and Lonnie also did a lot with the girls, took them on date nights and such. But Daniel was having the most difficult time. We sat and we talked a lot about the things that they did with one another. You know what Daniel said to me? He said a lot, but one thing that really hit home with me, said, Kevin, I wish that I had one more time to hug my dad and to let him know how much I love him. And I tried to comfort him and to say, and this is true, your dad knew that. But kids, take advantage of the opportunities that God gives you today to express and to show your love for your moms and dads, because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We love each of you very much. And we want you to have a life that is centered in Christ. We want you to have the same hope that we have beyond this life, of eternal life in heaven with our God someday. And the things that you do today will determine where you are tomorrow and will set you on that path, if you live for God, unto an eternal life in heaven with Him in the end. The lesson has centered around our youth today, but at the same time, the invitation is open to all who are outside of the body of Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never become a Christian, you've not confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God, submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, we want to encourage you with our singing. But also, if we have an erring brother or sister in Christ, we want you to also understand, as James tells us in James 4:14, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And if you're in need of God's forgiveness, please come.